want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour back in your life. It is March 30th. 2021, Ben the Breaker of Banksters. We were off last week, the end of the season. But guess what? Time flies. We're already here for spring 2021 season of Patriot Power Hour. Future Dan, my co-host, good friend. How you doing there, sir?
Yeah, it's spring, and we got an interesting conversation planned for everyone tonight. We were just taking a look at Ben's stocks of preparedness equipment and had a brainstorm, so we're going to share that in this show. Should be interesting.
It's going to be a little bit of a kind of what a prepper experiment, a mind experiment, and it could be we're going to look at it from a lot of different angles.
Contingency planning.
Yes, both from I'm not going to say offensive point of view, but more of an active compare, and as well as defensively, or how to prevent maybe people getting in your stuff, for example.
I think we're going to pick four pieces of equipment and consider scenarios. If you had that and only that,
right?
How would you operate?
Think of it as, all right, if you went to a desert island, you could only do three items. But it's more of, you know, you only get three items after an EMP hits.
Yeah, we're going to talk about scavenging in a world where, you know, that might make sense. But first off, I want to let everybody know, a dental surgery not too long ago, a few hours ago. So my lips numb and I'm less coherent than usual. So, or at least I can enunciate less well.
I was about to say that affected your mind as well.
No, it does not really. It's just the Novocaine did.
Just sounds like it did.
Stiff upper lip on the right side, and it's. I hope it wears off during the show, but I am struggling to speak tonight.
That was a little bad on there. No, I'm just joking, man. You're doing fine. I didn't even notice it until you really mentioned it to me. I was like, a little bit. I can't really hardly tell. So I'd rather you be here for the show than, you know, worry about it too much. So it's all good.
Yeah, it does provoke me thinking about, well, you know, if there were no dental services and I had the same situation, cavities, and they had to be fixed, your next choices are far more primitive than you'd like them to be, and it probably includes losing teeth in the long run. So thank God tonight we're not in that zone of danger. In fact, the news is pretty tame, and it has been really since Biden was elected. So we'll talk about that. It'll hit the headlines in the second quarter, but they're sparse, really. Lots of panicky, fear-mongering, not
right.
Necessarily based on actual events now. But
yes,
we all know that there's 50 shoes that could always drop that make things really bad fast.
Well, that's exactly what I want to say, is that none of the issues or problems we've discussed on this show and here on the PBN, our fellow hosts have talked about, none of them have really been solved. They may kind of go underground, or, you know, kind of took a slight reprieve, right, to kind of remarshal the forces to attack the Bill of Rights, for example. But I see a lot of new areas warming up, but maybe not striking cold yet. So what I'm saying, for example, is gun control. We don't see bills being passed right now or major confiscation attempts. But like that rhetoric is starting to grumble and build. And you don't really carry that, or if you do, it's low level on future Dan or future danger. But, you know, it's all kind of ramping up and bubbling just below the surface is how I kind of feel. And we do have some good articles to talk about on future danger. But on the other hand, it's not as in your face as we've certainly seen it, especially this time last year, or especially back under the Obama administration. It was pretty crazy.
The way the news works on a lot of the Second Amendment indicators, when it comes to restrictive laws, unconstitutionally restrictive laws, they have to pass one of the bodies. It could be at the state level, could it be at the federal level, and they passed a couple of those gun control bills right off the bat, first week in January, but out of committee.
Right.
But it hasn't passed any House. But when it does, right, it's going to go immediately on to future danger. Then you know it's for real.
Yeah, then it'll be high level as well. It'll be a high threat level.
And it will go to a peak when it gets close to being voted on in a second chamber. And remember, governors and states can still do draconian things here and there. We're just not seeing that right now.
Right.
Because the states that already could have done it did it, right?
Yeah.
New York, California, they already did these things.
Well, that's kind of from a financial point of view. You know, obviously, one of my specialties where I talk about a lot, there's not very much at all. However, we still have the debt-to-GDP ratio at all-time highs. We have the treasury rates pretty much kind of oscillating, blowing up and then trying to be knocked back down by the central banks. We're going to continue to see more of that. But right now, the stock market's still cruising along pretty much at all-time highs. Most, quote-unquote, financial experts, right, especially the CNBC crowd, everything's going well, and there isn't much news in that regard. But there's such an underswell of problems and really, things are coming to a head, but it's just below the surface, I think.
Too far below the surface to make any headlines worth noting, though.
Definitely like an actionable, because future danger is kind of like a week or less snapshot, right?
Yeah.
So definitely, there haven't been any of those big issues from a financial point in particular in the last week. But, you know, a month from now, 6 months from now, I do expect that to change.
The whole board could go...
Exactly. That's
black on red within a week.
Exactly.
And we all know it.
Right.
Which is why watching it grow from a day to another day and with serious, you know, historical, you know, turning points, you know, like we saw last, you know, 1 year ago in March 2020. But that's not today. And it wasn't 2 weeks ago.
Right. And we don't force the issue here. We don't try to bring up major fear mongering or, you know, try to make a mountain out of a molehill. So, again, we will be going through the news blitz as we always do on the after this break here in a few minutes. But we're going to spend a lot of the show later focusing on prepping and not only how to take news and information to help your prepping, but kind of a little bit of a mind experiment or, you know, just scenario brainstorming. I'm really looking forward to that. We just kind of came up with that on the fly hour ago, maybe.
Yeah, like this piece of equipment, that piece of equipment, and that piece of equipment.
Yep.
Put them together.
I'm really looking forward
now,
to that.
How would you operate with them?
I'm really looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. So we're going to go to that break here in a second and then go to that news blitz. But before we do, where do they find you? What kind of social media you got going these days and heading into the spring?
Yeah, well, it's futuredanger.com. And all the social medias that are monitored to some degree or another run on that page, but definitely at Twitter. Always been there, probably stay there. The news does seem to hit there early.
Yeah, Twitter, and we've talked about this at length, won't get too deep into it now, but Twitter's annoying. There's a lot of negative energy, first off, but it's still, in my opinion, the best way to get real-time, kind of on-the-ground information. Until they censor it. So you can also find me on Twitter at BanksterBreaker. And I've had a few of the listeners reach out to me. I encourage you to do so as well. And, well, we'll be right back with the News Blitz Patriot Power Hour.
at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour. Going into the news blitz. FutureDanger.com. Here we go. 21 senators urge recurring stimulus checks. I definitely want to talk about that, so let's remember to talk about that. World leaders call for a pandemic treaty. AP tells reporters not to say, quote, crisis or crises, but definitely had no problem using that word during the last presidency. All three of these are relatively elevated in threat level, so go check out all these articles. I want to cover pretty much all of them at length later, but let's keep moving on to the second column, national security. NATO scrambles jets 10 times to track a Russian military planes, or to track multiple Russian military planes across Europe. And Iran fires a missile at Israeli ship in the Arabian Sea. So we're seeing some saber rattling. We've been talking, of course, about with China as well. But don't forget the Middle East and don't forget Russia either, especially with Biden in charge, right? They said some inflammatory things in the past for sure. But that's about it, thankfully, knock on wood. Move on to the economics. Not tons of news, but I'm going to review some of the indicators as well. So let's have at it. There is a $4 trillion infrastructure plan with tax hikes, including increasing the highest on the highest bracket, the rate on the highest tax bracket. As I said earlier in the show, federal government debt to GDP ratio, pretty much an all-time high. I mean, it is 129%. So more debt than we produce per year. Well, here's a quick plug. You can go see our entire Patriot Power Hour radio archive at Feature Danger as well. So that's there. But I want to touch on real quick a few of these financial metrics that are tracked in real time, automatically pulled into Feature Danger. 684,000 initial weekly jobless claims. That's down from the 800 to 900,000 we were seeing the past 6 to 8 months. Not by much, but still down a little bit. Obviously, this time last year, we were seeing 2, 3, 4 million a week. But still elevated at 684,000. The volatility index, though, as I said earlier, stocks are doing pretty well. They've stopped their major jump, you know, an incredible bull market we've seen since 2008. It kind of plateaued, but still very, very nice for most folks that were in there. And the volatility index, as I said, is pretty low. Gold retreated a little bit today. Oil up $60, and you might see gasoline up at the pump. Thankfully, that Suez Canal situation didn't blow up, or we would be seeing, I think, oil maybe to triple digits, but that was cleared up. Anyway, continuing on, let's move to the fourth column. Nature, of course, this has almost turned into the COVID-19 column the past 14 months. However, there are a lot of other interesting topics and important topics as well. We have a certain type of orangutan in Sumatra on the brink of extinction. We have the worst drought in 40 years in Angola. Now, this is coronavirus related, but unfortunately, if you did contract COVID-19, if you're a male and contracted that, you have 3 times the risk of developing erectile dysfunction, ED. That's not good. There's so many side effects to coronavirus, but ED, one of them. Well, here's another one, except this time from the vaccine. A man suffers severe rash over entire body. That's pretty mundane compared to some of the reactions we've covered here. But the most important article of the entire night, and what I will be passing it off to future Dan to comment upon first, is this, pretty much he's admitting it. I believe he already knew this, but former CDC director says that he now believes COVID-19 escaped from a Wuhan lab, so that it's man-made from the Wuhan lab, which we were saying for more than a year now. That's in the SHTF, most dangerous, most important level, the only one of the entire week. Future Dan, what does it say? I mean, transport yourself to 1 year ago, right? If the CD, could you imagine that the CDC director would say that COVID-19 escaped from a lab?
Well, let's transport ourselves there. Click the archive.
All right, let's do it.
What was going on the last day of March in labs lose control of pathogens in 2020?
Well, we're going to be...
That was January of this year. Go back.
Okay, I see. I was going wrong direction. There we go.
So at the end of February, you know, and actually on April 1st...
Oh, perfect. Wow, perfect.
Mainstream media attention turns to Chinese biolab near the COVID-19 ground... zero. So it was a year ago that the media had to cover for this, and it's just lingering out there because it's so, you know, actually true. The article you quoted for today, though, Ben, that was Trump's CDC director. Why didn't he say it when he was still on the job? I don't know.
Yeah, good question. Yeah. His response would probably be he didn't have all the facts or was still indetermined, but I don't know.
What changed since January?
This is crazy, though. I mean, folks, you can dig into the Future Danger archives deep, and we're literally looking at articles posted April 1st, April 3rd, and April 3rd, 2020. These three articles that say, so 1 year ago, almost exactly. YouTuber finds source of the coronavirus. Molecular biologist says COVID-19 could have leaked from Wuhan biolab. And coronavirus origin in Wuhan lab unproven, but denials unconvincing by the National Review.
National Review had that a year ago.
So it's not just some blogger or whatever, right? You know, I love bloggers, so not disrespecting them. But, I mean, come on. 1 year later, he's comfortable enough. It could be political, obviously. It could be national security aspects to it. He didn't want to come out and say it back then for national security purposes. I don't know.
He didn't want to say when it could have saved the previous president. Previous president didn't want it said, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, they could be a total blunder. It could be a total blunder. They should have, you know, I don't know.
If you go to the archive for labs lose control of pathogens. It's now black on red, like actuated. So the grading system, it's not about importance. It actually has no value judgment on importance. It just to correct, your description, if I may.
Okay.
It's about how actual it is. Is that okay. confirmed to be happening, or has it been confirmed to have happened? Now, some of these are lagging indicators. Like, mm-hmm. it's confirmed today. Former CDC director says it, right? That's confirmatory, you know, to me.
Right. After the fact.
But it's lagging from the date that it escaped from the lab.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, you know, do the calculation. 15 months later, this is considered true when 15 months ago it happened. Some things on future danger, like a major earthquake, are going to be immediate.
Actualized immediately.
The lag on the earthquake doing devastation to our country won't be long.
Right.
The lag on a pathogen that was, you know, the most generous description is they were doing gain of function, you know, testing to get a specimen of a coronavirus that now they could, you know, learn how to treat. That entire line of thought on gain of function, you know, studies when it comes to pathogens, lethal pathogens, is very, very unconvincing that it's a smart idea to do that. It's basically creating a bioweapon, right? So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. It's not importance. It's how close to being, yes, it's happening.
Okay.
And when the entire board on future danger is black and red, that's the sign that it's all going down now.
Things are happening now. It's not in theory.
Some of these indicators can sit around lagging at the bottom of the column, drawing, by the way, little attention from future danger audience because unless the links get clicked, the fewer clicks a headline gets, the over time it's lowered in, vertically on the heat map. You know, so the less interesting things to our audience kind of sink to the bottom.
So what's the lesson, folks? If you're doing research out there, don't just always click the flashy headlines or the biggest, seems like the biggest story. Keep researching the low-level, mid-level, slow-burn type of items are important to keep abreast of as well.
Well, I'd say the audience should just use the website the way it makes sense and don't read the stuff they don't care about.
That's true. Each person's got their own values, yeah.
Yeah, if they're saturated with news articles about this, it ought to sink to the bottom. Nevertheless, it's still like black on red because former CDC director says that's what it is. It's pretty much, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah. So going back, I just want to check real quick. First mention of this was January 24th, 2020 on your site, so that goes back. Wuhan, SARS, and Ebola lab suspected of novel virus leak. UK Daily Mail.
Daily Mail had that in January 2020.
And one day later, Washington Times. Virus hit Wuhan. Has two labs linked to the Chinese biowarfare program.
Right, the two. Interesting one on this archive, Ben, is November 23rd, 2019. Operations at Fort Detrick's Army Biological Warfare Lab, Fort Detrick, Maryland, started to resume on a limited basis. Under Obama, the gain-of-function type, you know, evolving pathogens to learn how they, you know, become more lethal, that had been banned by Trump right after he became president. You know, about a year after he became president. So in December of 2017, his administration stopped it, and then before December of 2019, when, you know, if you remember back, some accusations were made that the World Military Games hosted in Wuhan had been the source of another country introducing this to China. In fact, Chinese government, for a period of time at least, was telling its people that the United States had introduced it at the World Military Games, which I checked, and we did attend it.
Oh, and definitely.
That would have to be like the Olympics. Clandestine forces and anybody you could feel infiltrate into the country.
It's reasonable that it could have occurred. It's also reasonable that China would just pin it on that as an excuse. So
right after those games, Trump reverses himself and turns back on the operations at the biowarfare lab at Detrick. And we know, you know, less than 60 days later, this disease was coming out of China worldwide. So there's a lot of history to be written about what factually happened at Fort Detrick, and who knows what in the government and who speaks.
All right. Well, guess what, man? Going all the way back to one of our first episodes ever, Patriot Power Hour. We're on episode 134. I'd say this is around episode 3 or 4, December 2017. Federal ban on making lethal viruses lifted. That's going to be one of the older pieces of information. In the PPH, Patriot Power Hour, Infosphere. And look what it evolved to 3-4 years later. Pretty crazy, pretty crazy. All right, guys. We're going to break. Check out PrepperBroadcasting.com, and we'll be right back.
I want to tell you about the most affordable and effective preparedness purchase that you can make in 2021. Fire Edge is a fully customizable vehicular preparedness system. It can hold magazines, firearms, IFACs, tourniquets, pepper spray, flashlights, anything you need at arm's length. It fits snug in the door pocket of any vehicle. Oh, and how about all that for $20? Visit FireEdge.org today and use the promo code 2021, and you will get yours for $20.21, the ultimate in vehicular preparedness. Visit FireEdge.org and use promo code 2021.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
I see the bad moon horizon. I see trouble on the way. I see earthquakes and lightning. I see bad times today. Don't go around tonight.
Patriot Power Hour. We're back for the third segment. Ben the Breaker Banksters. Future Dan. We talked a little bit here and there, different articles. Obviously did the deep dive into what I think is the most, well, I think it's the most important and most actualized article of the week. The CDC, former head of the CDC, stating that Wuhan lab was the source, the leaked source of coronavirus. But were there any other articles? I know I definitely want to talk about a couple. Any, though, that you want to hit on?
I want to get into the contingency planning with those four pieces of gear, but all right. I know you want to wrap up a few of these news articles. In summary, relatively tame, low-level news tonight on episode 134. But you can't let one of these go. What are 21 Democratic senators urging the president to do that is catching your eye?
This recurring stimulus payment. I mean, just call it. Yeah, give me my stimmy. Give me my stimmy. Look, just call it what it is, welfare slash universal basic income. They're putting it out there now. They've already had, what, three tranches of stimulus payment. They're probably, and that's just the direct handout, let alone the Paycheck Protection Program and all the unemployment benefits and all that other stuff, right? So, I'm not saying we don't necessarily need it because people would be freaking starving and crime would be out of control without this. But let's not even get too much into that. They're absolutely trying to turn us more into a welfare state. And you just said it, Cloud Piven. So
collapse the system with debt, and you're going to have outright socialism. Yep. Where you're capped. Like you don't get to own more than that. You don't get to earn more than that. You are boxed in, and your upper end on wealth that you could possess is limited, unless you want to have some like fake wealth because you became a bureaucrat.
Yeah.
That could run public works and public trusts. Yeah. And then you'll be wealthy, but you won't ever get to name it in your own name again. That's what happens if you start doing stimmy for permanently. But what could it do to the silver market?
Well,
we talked about Wall Street bets. We know stimulus checks went into the GameStop pump, which still isn't dead. I still see headlines about how it's rising up to, you know, hundreds of dollars here and there. But since we discovered and learned the ways of Wall Street bets, you've come across silver bets. What's going on in the silver market? The paper silver market, Ben. I want to cover that before we get into our four pieces of urban preparedness gear and scenario.
Well, just to close the loop, and it is totally related to silver, but just close the loop, they want to cut out as much of the middle class as they can and turn them into being on welfare, being on this universal basic income, some sort of assistance. The only way to do that is to print money and issue debt. 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago, I think that was the last time we had the balanced budget. It was, what, 97 or 96 or something? So it's more than 20 years ago. Since then, we've been paying more than we take in as a country. However, that's exploded exponentially at 9/11, and of course, coronavirus is a whole new level.
$4 trillion infrastructure plan is on deck right now.
And I believe this is ballpark estimate, but I believe total federal tax revenue is only like $2 or $3 trillion a year. So just this infrastructure plan is already more than all the taxes collected for the entire country in a year. So this is debt finance, but everything's been debt financed to date, but it's growing and growing and growing exponentially. And what are you supposed to do when they devalue your currency? Because that's what they're doing. Well, silver is one option. Now, it's a manipulated market, but these folks on silver bets and on Wall Street bets, kind of their antithesis in a way. Do you want to bust the bankers by destroying their hedge funds with these stocks like GameStop, right, and Robinhood traders? Or bust them with precious metals that they don't have in their vaults, but they're leveraged. And they don't have them in their vaults. And they're going to call their bluff.
And you can't pull what they did right at GameStop and just do a private timeout and let you sell but not buy and cheat the entire system, showing how corrupt it is. At some point, if enough people buy silver, what could happen?
That's the big theory. That's the big question.
The people in silver bets want to find out.
They believe they're on the road to that. Let me say just real quickly, without getting nerdy, and we're going to get into our thoughts on the prepping and the items, how to best utilize
future
these.
Future contracts. Yep. Again, we covered that previously.
It's all about
after like episode maybe 125, 28, we were talking about Wall Street bets. We get into what a put and a call is.
Yep.
Same thing again, but now with paper silver contracts to buy or sell silver at a certain price in the future.
And I happen to have a physical ounce of silver just sitting on my desk, actually. For every one of these, they have 30, 50, some say upwards of 100 or more paper contracts. And those can be manipulated by the banksters. Just know that. You don't have to know anything else except paper can be manipulated. Hard silver? Not really, okay? Cannot be manipulated unless they do not let you audit the vaults and they, you know, all that.
That can be coming.
So what they want to do at Wall Street Bets, but more importantly, kind of this silver subset or kind of like a subculture or, you know.
Take down the COMEX.
Is take down COMEX, which is the largest options. And this is paper.
Commodity silver. Exchange.
Well, yes, it does all different types of commodities. Exactly.
But the bullion is what is always closest to being more than just a commodity. It's money.
Right. So what's the plan? Buy as much physical silver as you possibly can with every dime you have that used to be made out of silver, but is no longer. Buy the physical silver. Put such a rush on the physical market that, guess what?
Something breaks,
and either the price of the paper price of silver jumps from $25 to $60 to balance everything.
Like GameStop stock did.
Yep. Or the fraud, you know, they have to paper their fraud over. Because they can't, they have it out with the COMEX. They're able to just pay in dollars. They don't have to actually, they have the right to say, oh, we've chosen not to deliver physical silver. We're going to pay you the major profit, maybe in U.S. dollars, fiat. And so they may pull that. But if they have to, that'll be egg on their face. Emperor totally just so close. Exactly.
There's no silver there.
They're pretty much.
The price of silver isn't close to what is it tonight? $23 an ounce?
Yeah. And it would be, I believe, at least $50, $60 at a fair market value. So they're either going to have to do that, which if they did that, that would really hurt, if not crush their debt Ponzi scheme. Number one. Or to keep the system going, they'll have to go another level of fraud and show their cards again, which eventually will maybe wake people up and lead to their downfall. But, you know, we kind of want to pick this pace up a little bit here. So anyway, that's what they're trying to do. Will it work? I don't know. But
the downfall of the banksters.
Yeah.
But in a scenario where it's the downfall of us.
Or electric grid, or both.
Electric grid goes down, natural disaster. We got excessive rule of law mixed with without rule of law. You're in a zone that, you know, the shipping supplies can't get into. Just the collapse scenario that, you know, being prepared for is certainly going to pay off. We were just brainstorming. Let's pick four pieces of equipment, random. And see where it takes us. What would you have to think about doing or not being, you know, limiting yourself from doing with these pieces of equipment? Are you ready to introduce the kit?
The kit. I'm ready.
So part one of the kit is what?
I'm going to call it transportation.
Transportation.
And it is a bicycle or... My wish list, and I'm not going to buy one probably, but an electric bike variant that gives you pedal assist.
So what kind of models are we talking about?
In terms of cost, or there's mountain bike versions and there's kind of road versions. Well, I would certainly...
give an example somebody can Google.
Okay, this one is called, the one that I think seems the most promising, is actually called RAD, R-A-D, radpowerbikes.com.
Rad Rover Step Through One.
This one's called the Electric Fat Bike, the Rad Rover Step Through One. And there's other electric, you know, there's Cosmopolitan. Hey, you can kind of drive around New York City for fun, but not like survival type of bikes. This one has big tires, puncture resistant, better shock system than normal, et cetera, et cetera.
$1,700.
Pretty good review. $1,700. This is what it has. It can take you between 30 to 40 miles on one electric charge.
Yep.
And if that's all by itself, but it's able to do kind of half power and you provide it with, you know, your legs, you actually pedal. Or, of course, you run out of electricity, you can just use it like a regular bike.
It's a modern moped.
It's pretty legit, though, from what I see. But this is kind of like, you know, cool, best case scenario, but just, I think, a bicycle, though. Some sort of silent transportation, quicker than walking.
This is more silent than a pedal bike, though. This brings new capability that you wouldn't have, and it conserves energy.
Conserves energy massively, and the sound.
Short on calories, if your food supply is limited.
Yeah.
So this is part one of the kit, of a four-part kit. Part two is an accessory to this, which would be some kind of solar panel that is portable that you can take with the bike and lay it out and charge it wherever you got to be. And we haven't, you know, done the testing to tell you how long it would take to charge the bike again. But suffice it to
say,
some amount of time you'd get it there. And now you got 40 miles of silent, you know, cargo carrying capability. And in an urban environment, is what we're going to talk about. Urban scenario could be a pretty nifty tool. It covers transportation. What other area of preparedness is in the four-part kit, Ben?
Well, I really want to say, I've done the research, actually, and with a particular solar panel I have, that's a 100-watt solar panel, we can get into the brands later. Within 4 hours, it would charge this bike with full sun. So, and I don't know if you'd be able to carry it on your back per se. Obviously, you'd have some sort of base operation during the day. You can charge it up, and at night, I would expect to be using this bicycle at night, by the way.
If it rains for a week, though, problem.
You could be out of luck for sure, but it's got pedals at least. Yeah.
I mean, it operates as a bike.
Yep.
All right.
So, there you go.
By the way, the next generation is not on tonight, so we're going to go a little long, get into the 9 o'clock hour, cover the scenario, go a little bit past our normal finish time. Just want to put that in there.
Babe. Yep, exactly. So, let's move on to number three
of the kit.
Is?
Let's just say an AK-47.
Okay. Survival rifle, even.
Yeah, you have a firearm. There's other choices. You can pick billion.
Maybe even a pistol.
Variants of firearms. That's not the point. We're just going to pick one.
Yeah.
Because it's Dane D's favorite model, we're going to pick an AK-47 tonight.
There you go.
So you got the fat tire electric bike, stealth mode, and AK.
And guess what? The cherry on top is bolt cutters.
36 inch, 20 pound, 900 millimeter tongs, able to get through a half inch chain link without a problem.
Or lock, padlock.
Yeah. Those are the four pieces of kit. Now, in an urban environment, or for whatever reason, you can't or won't bug out.
Right.
What does this provide you?
So I see this in a couple ways. First off, if you don't have very much money or time to prep or caught off guard, and I absolutely do not encourage people to steal from folks, but what if a lot of folks have died or 90%+ of people have evacuated, like a Katrina situation?
We're talking a real or worse scenario.
But countrywide, not just your state.
This isn't like last March and when people...
Yeah, and this isn't like Texas power outage. This is like way worse. This is like
30 days into grid down. And there has been starvation and there has been mass exodus.
Yep.
And the environment looks like the science fiction movies that we know you've all seen rather than anything like today.
Right.
That's when this four-part kit brings into play scavenging.
And here's the question. It depends on your circumstance, but maybe you lived in a urban area and you're trying to get 100, 300, 500 miles into the woods or at least away from a coast or something, right? You can use this kind of kit to survive. You don't need to have a backpack with everything already on your back. Think about all the stuff out there that you can, dare I say, loot, scavenge. Again, I'm nonviolent. I have a moral system where I would not take from people that needed it. But if there's abandoned houses or half of a block's burned down and no one else is around, but part of the houses are still open, you find a safe or something that gets chopped up. I mean, you may be able to find what you need.
As recent as our Civil War in the United States, armies marched and fed themselves off the land anyways. That was the standard practice, right? So we are talking about dire circumstances here, and obviously without rule of law, right?
Yeah.
You're doing everything you can just to move from point A to point B, or if you set up in the urban environment and just wanted to maintain,
yeah,
whatever reason, you got somebody that's older who can't move, like taking them out is a risk.
One thing that I'm not saying that this is my plan per se, but if you get caught off guard and you weren't able to bug out in time and all the roads are shut down and it's hell out there and you got a better chance to die out there than bug it in. It's safer to bug in, but it's only going to be viable for 20, 30 days. You're going to have to break out eventually. And this is kind of your ability. Okay, I can't bring my bug out vehicle with all my great stuff. All I could go is on foot or on my bicycle. Maybe you can bring some other stuff with you, but really, you want firearm. You want to be able to access stuff. That's where the bolt cutters come in, I think. And, you know, the solar panel may be a luxury. Again, just a bicycle, I think. You could move hundreds of miles in a week or two in a kind of, I'm not going to say post-apocalyptic world, but where you're unable to move hundreds of miles in almost any other way.
And you'd be able to get into, you know, properties that have chain link fence.
Yeah, I'm thinking more like industrial parks and stuff, not like people's homes right. as well.
Right. So what about this for a contingency scenario? For whatever reason, you're sticking in the urban, suburban core of an area that's devastated. And you have this four-part kit, right? It's really three main things, and then you can power the bike. We like the electric bike because at night it would be silent. You could do a lot of things. And, you know, a lot of you have seen the movie I Am Legend, so I'm not talking about, you know, Will Smith surviving in a townhouse from zombies, but go out. You'd want to be going out at night rather than day.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of a scenario where the homes, the houses, the apartment buildings, the suburban properties, the homes, right? The separate homes are going to be the hellscape you're talking about. People that didn't prepare, you know, getting to the point of complete desperation. The people in that environment who did prepare are now targets.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I would locate, if under these circumstances, probably some kind of commercial property. And since COVID, a lot of these office buildings are not even rented out right now.
True.
Right?
Lots so of them for lease, cover, yeah.
The ability to get on the roof and charge that bike up from sitting in the sun all day without anybody able to see it. And, of course, that firearm for defending stairwells, an AK-47 in stairwells at lower entrance doors. Pretty formidable, right? I mean, the ammunition is a little bit heavier than 5.56, but taking this all up to some kind of big property that's abandoned, that was otherwise didn't have any, has no reason for anybody to go to
right.
necessarily.
The whole point is to be away from everybody, exactly.
But then move out at night and scavenge and mm-hmm. bring it back. And you take the top floor of the building, perhaps, and use that as your warehouse. And the next floor down, your sleeping quarters. And then you defend the stairwells, you defend the lower floor, if you can secure all the entrances. If you are a small amount of people, just 2, 3, 5, trying to, you know, survive this way, you're probably going to have a hard time locking down every opening on the first floor of the basement and still having shifts to sleep.
Right.
Right? 33% security means now you're talking 5 entrances, you need 15 people. 15 people now have a sewage requirement that means you're going to have to port it out of the building.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be working, right? Plus, the signature, right? You don't want a big signature. You don't want anybody to know you're in there. So pretty much that AK and defending stairwells, assuming the elevators are out, taking a top floor, going to interior rooms and offices,
yeah.
and making sure no light exists.
Like really, like the elevator lobby is probably a good place to fortify and keep as your main area,
light,
right in the middle core area.
Wherever you can get light security, wherever you can, you know, light discipline.
Okay.
Noise and light discipline at night, you know, just hanging out. And maybe people are speaking loud or laughing or whatever because, hey, you're safe. You found a place to
You get
survive.
Used to it eventually. You get a little too comfortable.
How to lower your signature. I like the bike because it lowers the signature when you're moving.
Yeah.
And I like the, you know, the bolt cutter opens up all kinds of possibilities to access spaces that might have what you need to survive.
And, you know, this is, again, just kind of we were just brainstorming, right? Thinking, just talking back and forth, what kind of problems would we face in this scenario? And really, you know, I said, I got a pair of bolt cutters. I got those not to go steal from my neighbor, but to go break in to the industrial place down the road if, you know, 30 days after an EMP, you know, they're not going to...
Walmart might be on the target.
That might already be cleared out, but there might be a locked area that's not,
yeah.
for example.
Like
so
the Sam's Club that may still have something in it.
Yeah.
And you're that desperate that it's time to try it out.
Yeah. So, and again, there's a lot of weight restrictions to this. You know, there's the bigger your bolt cutters, the heavier they are. So there's smaller ones if you, you know, but I feel like this, the size, at least for me, I'm a relatively big guy. So 25 pounder, I think I can haul that plus my AK. you know, that's 35 pounds on my back on a bicycle. I think
you're forgetting the AK's ammunition, though. You're more like a 50.
That's true. Great point. I would actually have not tactical gear per se, but I would have like kind of a harness and whatnot, and so probably 6 magazines on my body as well. So that's hefty.
Yeah. But
that's about all I would have on me for scavenging, kind of going out. This is also not only to transverse long distances, but again, kind of like you said, if you have 3, 4, 6 people, someone could go out and try to find communication, try to link up with other people, or just go to the Walmart and see what you can find, right? But at least you can go more than a mile radius. You can go 3, 5 miles away on that bicycle in the same time you'd walk 1 mile. So,
all right, that's the 4. It was just a random set of 4. Like, if you had AK, electric fat tire bike, the solar recharger, and 36-inch, 20-pound, able to cut it, what'd you say, at least a half-inch link of chain.
Yep.
More than enough to, work your way through, some kind of chain link fence that secures properties or get through windows. Have you ever heard of, so now we've done the 4, have you ever heard of a hooligan tool?
No. Is that a combination of a crowbar with other stuff or something like that?
Tool. Okay. It's like a multi-tool fire axe.
Okay. Hooligan's tool. Nice.
And it doesn't bolt cut, but it's for smashing and getting through any kind of, it's a tool firemen use to get into fire, burning buildings to save people, right? But there's certainly an urban warfare element to having a hooligan tool.
Definitely. So, I'm not going to say just having a little fun here per se, because it's not fun exactly, but interesting brainstorming. We thought we'd bring that conversation to you guys. Well, that's what you were saying. You're like, you would prefer a machine pistol over maybe that AK for interior.
With some of the members of the group, I'm thinking of 5 or 6 people could survive this way indefinitely, as long as what the area they're scavenging produces for them. But if you're going to be in this building and you got to be prepared, sooner or later you might take property that others say, wait a minute, that was ours. And they're coming to say, you can't have that.
That's why you want to get on that bike and go far away.
But if you're caught defending from, it could be even like the upper deck, second to upper deck of a parking garage or somewhere.
Yeah.
In some urban environment, not a house that was the obvious place to get looted repeatedly, if they're not all burnt down by that point. But, in this urban landscape, some kind of smaller millimeter, high velocity, high rate of fire, lightweight Uzi, MP5, something like that. And were you to have a pair of those with the appropriate amount of ammunition, then marksmen who are not necessarily highly trained for long distance shots outside, or mid range with the AK, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we can have an argument about how far you can shoot with the AK, but it's certainly not designed for beyond 300 meters, in any stretch of the imagination. Most of the time, far less with an AK, right? But something for those stairwells, to defend a stairwell, something that the people who are holding down the location where you're bringing in the products that you're scavenging, someone's got to be by the campfire. That'd be the right weapon to have in that environment.
Interesting, definitely. We're running out of time here. We can keep going on this, but I got a couple.
I wonder if you can get on some kind of kit that would let you put the bike up on it and let you pedal to recharge its own battery.
I have one of those, actually.
Yeah. That's another alternative to the solar.
Correct.
Is you bring it up the stairwell at night in your former office space. You got full lookout windows for hundreds of meters all around. You got plenty of space to store your stuff. You sit there pedaling your bike hungry, hoping to find some food on your next outing tomorrow night.
Revenge of the office worker. Interesting. All right, man. I think we're pretty much done for the night. Any other?
I don't hear music, so it can't quite be done.
Well, I'm probably ready to run that music. Another good show, my man.
Outro coming up.
Yes, sir.
We're going strong several weeks in a row. And if the news is this sparse, our brainstorming will be this over the edge probably again next time.
But I have a feeling the news is going to pick up very shortly, knock on wood.
I'd rather do scenarios than have tame news, actually.
It's more enjoyable. But
yeah, safer.
But we're here for the news when it happens. Anyway. All right, folks. Another great episode in the bag. No Next Generation tonight. They are planning a special COVID update tomorrow, on I Am Liberty. And also, the Next Generation will be live tomorrow as well. So it'll be a double barrel Wednesday. All right, my man. I'll see you next week. It'll be April. Catch you later. Sure, man.